Good morning. Just give me a second here. Okay, and then we'll take them off because I take them off and on because I'm not used to wearing them. So I play with them the entire time. I am finishing up the ending of, I'm coming up behind Pastor Jay with the topic on evangelism because we have a great summer lined up and there's a lot of great work that we're going to have the opportunity to do. You know, I thought about this as I was preparing and praying, how we as the body of Christ, we are not quite sure often where we fit in or what we have to do. But if we use Jesus as our example and we follow after Christ, we'll find out that there is a great work out there and all we need to do is dig in. We need to understand that he provided for us a great example and we need to follow. I want to talk about an evangelist. And an evangelist is a person who seeks to convert others to Christian, to the Christian faith, especially by public speaking. An evangelist usually has this as a vocation. So they're not working any other, and it's their opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. But please note, every Christian, you and me, we are called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone we come in. I was telling someone earlier that it's pretty easy for me to share the gospel of Jesus Christ because there's a part of me that feels like I know that I'm supposed to share Jesus wherever I go. I feel like I have a missing piece if I haven't shared Jesus in wherever I am. So when someone says something to me, they come to me, they walk up on me, or they're talking to me, I put Jesus in the midst of it because I know that they are looking for that peace. Because you see, I was just a child and one of the girls in my school stuck that peace in there. And I asked her, I said, can I go to church with you? Right after she said the message of Jesus, I said, can I go? And she said, yes. And I followed behind her, and I followed her into Christ. So I know, unlike a lot of people that say, you know, I'm not so sure everybody wants Jesus. I'm positive everybody wants him and needs him. And I'm positive that if we just hang in there long enough with them, they will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. To evangelize is to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. The word evangelism comes from the Greek word euangelion, and it means literally the gospel or the good news. Evangelism, the communication of the gospel, includes a forewarning. Everybody gets a forewarning. It includes a forewarning, a reason, and a call to change. Aren't you glad that the gospel is just not something that hits you, but it gives you a forewarning? You're sitting there, and our brother shared today about strongholds. And you know the funny thing about sitting in church is that you can say, that's not me. Not me. But then you go home and say, okay, Lord, it was me, but I didn't want everybody to know it. So I did the incognito thing. And so now everybody doesn't think it was me. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is a forewarning. It gives you the opportunity to get it together. Now, you don't have to, but you can. And then there is a reason. Oh, because Jesus loves you. He doesn't want you to be bound. Why should you be bound when you could be free? To walk in chains and bonds and fetters when you could be delivered. So there is a reason. And then a call to change where you could come and say, you know what, Lord? I just want to be free. I just want my life to change. Would you forgive me of my sins? Would you wash me and make me everything? I don't want to live this way. This is not what I want for my life. Pastor Jay announced some great opportunities, and we have the opportunity to do what it says up here, put the Father on display and bring people to Jesus Christ. I love leading and seeing the lost come to Jesus. Today, follow me, because I'm going to take you through. And I'm going to give you the following things. Why? The method. The purpose. The message. And the effects. Because there's always effects after the message goes forth. Luke 19, 1 through 10, this is Jesus with Zacchaeus. And every child could tell you this story, because I was a child. And I remember him one day, it finally clicked how small Zacchaeus was. And he says, "Mom, he's like you, he's short." And I said, "Thanks, son, that's what you got out of the message? You this message all along, and now you got that Zacchaeus was short." Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to come to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name, "Zacchaeus." Now, you know, when I was growing up, because of the way I grew up, a lot of times ended up as being part of the bunch. I started out in my own parents' home, and then later I was moved about the port. And so as I was moved about, we became part of a bunch. What has always impressed me is Jesus knows who you are, and he calls you by your name. Now, that's not going to mean much to you, but it means a whole lot to me. It makes me stand still when I think of the fact that Zacchaeus is trying to get up a tree to see Jesus, and he doesn't think that Jesus knows anything about him, and Jesus looks up and says, "Zacchaeus, come down." I remember we were in a room, and as they were clearing out the room because company was coming, I remember that the person first started out, Anita, her name was Anita, she first started calling the names of us children that were there. And then finally she looked at us all and she said, "You are all sitting here, get up and come to the back. You know I don't know all your names." And she just told us to come to the back. And we all got up and came to the back. But I remember thinking, I wish that she did remember all of our names, because that makes us important. That makes us someone to her. She doesn't just have us in her house. She isn't just receiving money for us, but she cares about us. Jesus calls Zacchaeus by his name because he cared about him. He specifically wanted to talk to him. He said, "Come down. I must be a guest at your house today. I'm coming to your home today. I'm going to be with you today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in a great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He was going to be the guest of a notorious sinner. They grumbled. Think about that. How many times have you thought somebody shouldn't be in the place that they were? How many times have you thought they shouldn't talk to a particular person of where they came from, or what their job was, decided to do to condemn their own lives? We have come into a place where, as Christians, we don't talk to certain people because we feel if we do, we are identified with them. So it's almost like we see them coming and say, "Oh, let me move over to the other side of the grounds." I go to a meeting, and in this particular meeting, there is something that has over and over again, and I've said this here, and it has something to do with sexual genders. And so because of that, they say, well, I know that if Robin Center is ever challenged like that, they will close Riversong. And people have asked me over the years, different employees said, why don't you stand up and tell them that we've had those type of families in our church and in our school for years? And you have ministered to the families and been to the hospital because they've called you when they were sick. Why don't you ever say anything? And I tell them, because my battle's not with them. We are here to serve Jesus Christ. And it's not about the particulars of what other people think. It's about the fact that we are on a mission and God has asked us to do something very simple, to love. To love. And that love has brought us to places that you cannot believe. And how Jesus Christ is using us. One of the fathers that is married to another father said his little girl is standing at the top of the stairs. And what she, I was sharing this with Rachel today, what she was singing was a song by Pamela Mann, I'm going to see the king, or I'm let me see the king, or whatever. I can't think of the title. But she was standing at the top of the stairs, 3 years old, and she said, I'm going to the king. And she's singing about, I don't have much to bring. My life, it's all in shambles. And she's singing this song, and the father came in one day, and he said, Miss Robin, what is that song? He said, she sings it at the top of the stairs. And I told him, he went and bought her the CD. So I got a question for you. Does Jesus want us to open our doors and allow ministry to happen? Or does Jesus want us to walk to the other side? Now blaring through his house, and if you ever heard Pamela Mann sing, you know it was blaring. Blaring through the house is Take Me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My life is in shambles, but this is my offering. And I'm thinking, and it says, lead me to the throne. And I'm praising God, because in this home, these are the words that are rattling through the home now. And she is singing this throughout her whole home. I'm telling you, there is a purpose for what we are doing. And there is a plan that only Jesus Christ has. And we have to follow the plan. And forget about all the sideline people. Because that's what they've become to me. I don't need to prove or say anything. The work is in what God is doing. He's got kids going to see the king. Hallelujah. So I'm excited about that. Zacchaeus is here. And he's standing before the king, so he comes down quickly, and Jesus has already invited himself to his house. I like that too, that he invited himself to his house. Now, don't look at me crazy, because you all know if I said I was going to your house today, you'd say, well, why don't we talk about this? I wasn't prepared for guests today. That's not what I had in mind, but Jesus said, I'm going to your house. And you know where I come from? We say he was an uninvited guest, but we didn't have the heart to tell him not to come. Okay? So he said, I'm going to your house today. So he came. Where we miss Jesus' part of evangelism is Zacchaeus came down, and meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord. And this is what happened. He stood before the Lord. Has anyone ever stood before you and just started confessing? Because of the anointing, because of who he was, Jesus, Zacchaeus started confessing. He said, I will give half my wealth. I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded. Salvation has come to his home today, for this man has shown himself to be true, the true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. Why? Why did he go after Zacchaeus? Because obviously he wasn't looking for a Paul because he called him Zacchaeus. He went looking for Zacchaeus. Why? Zacchaeus was a wealthy man from Jerusalem. And during the time of Christ, Israel was under the Roman Empire. So their taxes were still paid to Rome. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and he was a thief, and he was a robber. And not only did he collect the taxes, but he forced them to pay more. Where I come from, we just said he was a hood rat, because he was coming in and he was trying to take more than he was supposed to get. He probably wouldn't have left. He was lucky in that neighborhood, because in ours he wouldn't have left. But he was taking more than he was supposed to take, and he was taking it from poor people. It's one thing that people don't always realize. You walk into places and there is an anointing. And even in poverty, there's an anointing. People have things and you come in and you think that you can get over and just steal from them and nothing's going to happen. But God still has a plan, even in poverty, to give people something. So he went in and he was going to take it. But then he faced Jesus. And then he began to realize why is Jesus knew that he needed eternal help. His purpose, it was formation of Zacchaeus. Jesus came to seek and save not thousands, yes, but also one. He came to save Zacchaeus. He came to transform his life so that he could be honest. The message here is so clear to me. It was love. Not just because he called him by name, but Jesus spoke to Zacchaeus in his own person. And the anointing and the presence of Jesus Christ broke Zacchaeus. It broke him down and it broke him to repentance. He didn't even have to say anything, but Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house. And the very person of Jesus Christ, the anointing of Jesus Christ, who he was, broke Zacchaeus down to repentance. If we only knew who was inside of us. Some of the fears we have is ridiculous, because if we only knew that Jesus Christ is living in us, and when we stand before the people and we begin to tell the people about Jesus Christ, they will melt at the presence of who Jesus Christ is. We were in Sky Zone with the children on Thursday. And so Sky Zone was incredibly empty. We had Sky Zone all to ourselves, and boy, did our kids enjoy it. It was like four families there. They just jumped and leaped on the trampolines and everything. A lady came through, and a couple of weeks before we got to Sky Zone, Stacy knows this, she's here, they told us we couldn't eat, and that we were going to have to feed our children at like 9 o'clock in the morning or 9:30, their lunch. So I was talking to them and trying to reason with them, and they said, nope, we're sorry. That's the way it is. And I said, no, that's not the way it is. So I decided to call headquarters and talk to headquarters. And I said, listen, we're quite a ways away, and we just need your help. We want to come in. We're not bringing one group to Sky Zone. We're bringing two groups to Sky Zone. A whole lot of money. And we need to eat at Sky Zone. So they said, well, we don't do that unless you're going to buy food, unless you're going to do this. And I said, okay. I said, well, I'm bringing two groups to Sky Zone. I repeated my whole story again. And so finally the guy said, let me think about it. So when we got to the first week, we got a call, and they said, we're going to let the children eat at Sky Zone. And I said, thank you very much. I'll clean up, I'll sweep, I'll mop, I'll do whatever you need me to do. I really thank you. And we got there, and they got there, the first group. I didn't make it on the first trip, and they didn't have to clean. They didn't have to do anything. They cleaned behind them. The second trip we went, the boss came to talk to me, and she was telling me how wonderful our kids were, how great my staff was, and how they enjoyed us so much. And we were talking, and I had the opportunity right there to say to her, I said, you know, all that you've seen, all that you heard, it's real because my staff has Jesus Christ in their life. And the love of Christ shines through us wherever we go. I said, so I want to say to you, thank you for what you did. Thank you for allowing us to eat here. Thank you for, and I was just thanking her. And when it was over and we were leaving, Dana and I were walking out the door, and she said, can I just hug you? And I said, sure, I'm always open for a hug. And I gave her a hug, and she said, will you pray for me? And I said, yes, I will. I commit to praying for you. I believe that because of the example of Jesus Christ, I believe wherever we go, whatever we go, wherever we are representative of Jesus Christ, his person, his anointing, and I believe what we need to do is stand for his purpose. The message was love. Jesus spoke to Zacchaeus, told him to come down, invited him to his house, and he said, I love you by just saying Zacchaeus, by recognizing who he is. The effect, he became a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He repented before a message was even given to him. And here's the big part. He gave back everything that he had stolen 4 times. He was willing to give all that he had taken, and his life was transformed. What did you do the day that Jesus Christ transformed your life? Did you right the wrongs that you could right? Or did you just walk away? As Christians, when we do something, we need to go back and say we're sorry. Because people are watching us. We need to be willing to repent, willing to love, willing to change. We can't even say to our children, oh, they know what I meant. You need to be willing to go back and make it right because your example is something someone else is following. Note, when Jesus comes into your life, there will always be a change. Doesn't have to be something that we're talking about. There will always be a change. Jesus Christ came into Zacchaeus' life. There was a change. John 4:1-44. And I will be reading this quickly. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, through Jesus himself, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. He needed to go through Samaria. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, now near the plot of the ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of a Samaritan woman, for Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Are you greater than the father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as the well and his son and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, Whoever drinks from this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water that I may thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, Go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You have well said, I have no husband, for you have five husbands, and the one whom you have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, and the Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And Jesus said to the woman, Believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And at this point, the disciples came and marveled that he was talking to a woman, yet no one said, What do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pots and went out into the city and said, Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out to the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, Has anyone given him anything to eat? And Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, There are still 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this, the saying is true. One sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. And many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. He stayed there 3 days, and many believed because of his own words. And when they said to the woman, Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior. Just a note, the Savior of the world, just a note, something that was and is important to me. again is that he had to see her. He had to go to see her. He said, I have to go. He needed to go. The road, Samaria, was between Judea and Judah and Galilee. But because of the hostility the Samaritans and the Jews had, it wasn't the best route. But Jesus said, I need go. Jesus penciled her in. The Samaritan woman was a part of his plan. I want to tell you something. Some of you have some people sitting right next to you in your booths at work that you need to pencil in. So people that need to know something about Jesus Christ, and you've been saying, oh, I'll tell them later, you need to pencil them in. You need to get with them, and you need to sit and say, I have a story to tell you. The movie that about the king that they made years ago about Esther, what intrigues me is that when she goes before the king on the movie, she tells him a story about Jacob. And she's reading this newspaper, quote unquote, but she's really telling him a Bible story. It is time for some of us to recognize that there are people near us and right next to us that you think are going to be there every single solitary day. And tomorrow they might be missing. And you will say to yourself, I wish I had have told them about Jesus Christ. I came home one day, and this is just in the last 4 weeks, and there was the police were outside of my home. There was an ambulance. There was all kinds of things. And they had a whole family there. So I didn't know what was going on, and I went up the elevator, and one of the ladies that lives on the floor with me says, you know why all of that's going on outside? And I said, no. And they said, you know the lady that comes down in the morning and she always has a cart with her? And I said, yes. They said, they found her dead somewhere else, but her children were missing her and they thought she was dead in her apartment. So they were there looking for her, but they found her in the La Quinta Hotel. And I was just like, standing there, listening to them, and I thought about my only encounter with her. I only saw her once. Coming down, we were in the same elevator. And she started just saying, how are you? And I said, I'm fine. And, you know, very quick ride down. And I kept thinking, Lord, did you ever give me another chance that I could have said something to her that was meaningful? They now have decided that it's suicide. And my heart was so broken because all I could think about is, no, I didn't know her. No, I didn't go see her. No, I didn't have the opportunity really to speak to her. But I just thought, God, I've got to make a better effort around me to know my neighbors, because had I known she was upstairs and she was that broken down and that in that much despair, I might have had an opportunity to give her the gospel. Her children, I went out to talk to them, asked them, when was the viewing, when was this? And they said that she had left a note that said, do not have a funeral for me, do not have anything for me, just put me in the ground, no services, no nothing. So I'm talking to the daughter, and tears are coming down my cheek because I'm going, God, for someone to want this type of life, and this type of departure, she must have been hurting really badly. She wanted nothing. So her children said, what we're going to do is we're just going to gather as a family, and we are going to just have something at the home. And they said, would you like to come? And I said, well, if you send me an invitation, I will come. I stopped over to the home, and I was there just a few minutes because I didn't know the entire family. But I told them I was in ministry, and I told them where I attended church. And before I left, they said, well, will you pray over the family? And I had the opportunity to pray, and then I left and I came home. And I told the Lord, I said, God, there's another lady upstairs in our complex in the same building, but she is bedridden. Now, she is a Christian because her family goes to Leonardtown Baptist. I saw her family and I said, can I visit with her? And they said, yes. And so I'm starting to visit with her because I said, Father, I don't want to come home and there be another family like this. There be another person that has no one visiting them, no one calling, no one checking on them, but they can make a decision that they hate life, that they hate their life, and then they take their life. So I thought about that divine appointment that this woman at the well had. Why did Jesus go to her? Because he wanted her to be set free. Free from the sin of misery. This misery that she was caught up in brought her shame. The method. He asked her for something that she could give. Why would Jesus Christ say, give me some water? Why would he say that? What was the purpose? Because that's the only thing she could give Jesus Christ. And yet she wasn't willing. Because she was asking him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink of water? What do you want me to get the water with? I know you're not going to drink behind me. I know you don't expect me to drink behind you. What are you going to use? Listen to all of the garbage of racism and prejudice and all of the hatred that was coming out of someone that needed Jesus. He answered her questions. He spent time with her. His method was that he went to see her. He penciled her in. He spent time with her. He answered her questions. But this is the big part that God showed me a long time ago in his picture. He opened every portal to her life. Every gate to her life that would entrap her, because he didn't let her go with just saying at that point, what do you want to be saved? He said, where's your husband? She said, I don't have a husband. And he said, you spoke well, because you have five and the one you're with is not even your husband. You've had five and the one you're with is not even your husband. He opened every portal. Because he wanted her to have complete change, a completely changed life. When Jesus Christ comes into your life, he comes to give you life and that more abundantly. He comes to give you change. He comes to wash you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet so that your life will never be the same. He comes to bring change. So he came to bring change. Jesus was delighted to raise up just the one. I think about this. If an evangelist goes out and preaches all night and all day for a week and only one gets saved, you know what people say? Don't invite him to your church. He's not a great evangelist. A lot of people didn't get saved. We don't value one life the way Jesus Christ does. One life. Jesus went after the one. Her life was transformed. Jesus was, his purpose was to raise up another disciple to destroy racial prejudice between the Jews and the Samaritans, to declare that he came to seek and save the lost no matter what, and he went against all principles to do it. I am determined that whatever a person does in their private life, in their home, not my business. But whatever I have the opportunity to bring the gospel in, I'm going to bring the gospel in. The children that come to our center are children. And let me tell you something. If we miss that opportunity to put the gospel of Jesus Christ into those children, we've missed everything. Because those children will take the gospel back to their homes. And their lives will be transformed. And let me tell you, we don't have to worry about, wonder will it happen? I know it will happen. Because let me tell you, he said his word won't go out void. And all of the children are taking the word of God into these homes. And they're telling their parents about Jesus Christ. The purpose. The message. He saw her sin. He saw her misery. He saw her shame. He saw her loneliness. He saw her despair. But more importantly, he saw that she had been made invisible to everyone around her. Can you imagine being invisible? Anybody in here ever felt invisible? Like people didn't see you, didn't pay attention to you? Many of you raise your hands. Well, they made her invisible in the neighborhood because of the lifestyle she led. She was the woman that they didn't talk to. She was the woman that they didn't want to drink with. She was the woman that couldn't come to the parties. She was the woman that was not invited because of her lifestyle. She was made invisible. But Jesus penciled her in, so he knew she was there. She was not invisible to the Lord. His message was living water. He saw the death all around her, in her, about her life. She was dead and was still moving. Isn't it funny how you could think you're doing so great? You can have the job everybody wants you to have. You can have the money everybody wants you to have. You can be driving the car of everybody's dream. You can be doing all of these wonderful things and be dead because you're not have Jesus Christ in your life. Jesus said that I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. Why do I walk with my head up? Not because I'm a billionaire, but because of Jesus Christ. I have everything to live for. I have everything because I have Jesus Christ in my heart. And he is there. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He's always there in the midnight hour. When I cry, he's the one with the handkerchief. Because he's right there with me. The message, living water. The effects, a woman evangelist. That's what I called her. Because she left and ran out to the neighborhood. And she said, let me tell you about a man that told me everything I ever did. He must be the Christ. And when I was growing up, I just recently heard on the gospel station that they went back and picked up all those old songs. And some of you are going to remember this, and it says, what do you know about Jesus? He's all right. What do you know about Jesus? He's all right. And in the song it says, but you can't tell it like I can, because he's all right. I can imagine this woman saying, I know you all think I'm invisible, but I'm alive now. And you can't tell it like I can, because let me tell you what he's done for me. You see, you can tell other people's story, but when you tell your story, what did he do for you? Can't nobody tell it like you can. Because now you're telling the story of what he did for you. The effects were she went out and told everybody what he did for her. And the people change lives begin to happen. Something else happened at that point, too. She went from being a liar to a truth teller. Because she realized she didn't have to hide anymore. She didn't have to make up things. She told the truth. I want to give you some lessons learned in Jesus' evangelism, and I'm done. Jesus has love and compassion for the lost. How can you help someone you don't even love? Jesus loved everybody. You can't help anybody you don't love. Always remember that. Jesus loves the masses, but he will go after the one. There's a song that recently came out that pierces my heart because I think about this. It's a song called Reckless Love. We sing it here. But listen to this very clearly, because sometimes we get into singing, but we don't go any further than singing. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, and it leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Yet you gave yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Amen. Just think about it. Think about that. Think about that. We often think that we've deserved it. But he just totally, when I get to that part of the song, it tears me up because I think there's no place he wouldn't go to find Robin. It became very personal. That's the reason why he gave me a name. That's the reason why he came into my life. Because there wasn't any place that I could go that he wouldn't find me. He was willing to kick down walls. He was willing to change my life. He was willing to come in. I am grateful for his love. Finally, Jesus listened without distraction. Jesus refused to stay in his circle. He refused prejudice, social circles, rubbing with the right people, making the crowd happy. He refused all of that. Jesus knew his mission was to seek and save the lost. And lastly, Jesus is never judgmental. You're going out in these next few weeks to win the lost to Jesus Christ. Let Jesus be your perfect example. Because he went after each individual with a purpose. And he saw their lives transform. Stand to your feet. And those that are coming to pray, please come up. I want to encourage you today. If you're here and you say, you know what, Lord, my life needs to be transformed. My life is not in the right place. I need you. I need that reckless love of God. I need you to come in, and I don't deserve it, but I need you. I want you to come down. Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. Please come. Don't walk out of here today saying, I can do it tomorrow. Because tomorrow's not promised to you. Do it today. Make up your mind that, you know what? I want Jesus. If you're here and you need healing, you need just a word from the Lord, you need the Lord to do something special in your life, please come. When I'm done praying, I'm going to ask those of us that want to fellowship to please walk out of the door so that those that have come to the altar can let the work of God be done. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that it's overwhelming to me how much you love us. I'm so grateful that you're willing to go after us no matter what. I'm grateful, Lord, that our lifestyles, the things that were going on in our homes, I'm grateful, Lord, that whatever it was, wherever we came from, you didn't say yuck and turn the other way. You came running towards us. Lord, I'm grateful for your time that you pencil us in, and daily you pencil us in, and I'm grateful that we could come to you. Now, Lord, I pray for that one that's in here, that one that needs to know you as a personal Savior, a friend, a constant companion, one that they could talk to when they can't talk to anyone else. I pray right now, God, that that person will feel the tugging of their heart and that they will come and make it right with you. I also pray, Father, today that you will be with us throughout this day and the days to come. And Lord, we will always look around to see what we can do to bring another person to Jesus Christ. Lord, commitment is hard. So I pray that you help us to commit to those things that will help us and help other people, because we each have a story to tell. And if we tell our story, someone will come to know you in a very personal way. In Jesus' name, amen.